Report on my husband, by the way. The tick man is not here. Oh, he's going to kill me. Shh. Yes, and is Peter here? No. Okay, Nick. Oh, Peter is there? Oh, he went back. Okay. Shh, Nick, you're not allowed to say, okay? All right. They do? They hear me in the other room? Oh. Oh, trouble. All right, we're going to start.
Down there.
Are the knees knocking?
We're last.
Oh, my Lord. I'm going to split you two up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Tell them. Yes, we'll start here because Liz can handle it. I'm not a nice lady. Okay. Okay. Just tell us, Liz, how do you hear from God in the everyday? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and a little bit of details so we have a springboard.
Who I am and what I do. Let's see. Well, I'm Liz Cruz, and we've been here at this church probably since about 95 or so, 95, 96, somewhere around there. And I'm now working with the 4 and 5-year-olds in Sunday school on Sunday. So some of your kids get to come and hang out with me, and I really enjoy them. Actually, we have a really good time. I'm going to kind of get to my notes because I am a little nervous about being up here to begin with. And but there's some things that I really feel like the Lord would want me to share. And our daughter came to us in a miraculous way, and really that's a whole other topic in itself, and it would take longer than 5 minutes to share. But she came after 12 years of waiting. We were not able to have children, and so we went through the process of infertility treatments and things like that. And it was a very long period of time. It was 12 years from the time we started really seeking the Lord and asking the Lord to bring us children. And 12 years later, here she comes. But in that time, the Lord really taught me something very special. He taught me how to sit at his feet. He taught me how to listen. And I'm convinced that when you hear something, hearing tends to come up here. But listening goes here. It gets in your heart when you listen, when you sit at his feet, and you learn from him. And so because of all that time of sitting at his feet and learning and going through a journey of deliverance and inner healing, my heart, you know, with the sorrow and the pain of waiting and desiring and waiting and desiring. And through brokenness, God trained me to handle the little girl that came my way. I'm going to tell you what she says. She's about, she was about 19, 20 months. The hallway, we were in the back, the hallway was filled with people coming in and out. And we're all getting ready to come into service. And that little girl, I'm holding on to her, and she starts to extend her hand, and people would come and visit, you know, and say hi to her and everything. And she'd put her hand up, and she would gently touch whoever was talking to her and say, in Jesus' name, amen. She could barely say it. She's only 19, 20 months. She could barely get the words out. But, you know, then I'm like, uh-oh. What meaneth this, Lord? You know, I mean, even the evangelist who was there, he was like, I want her to pray for me. And I was like, oh my, we've got something going on here. Well, it goes on from there. So as she starts to get older, now she's saying things like, the desire of the king. Because she's only 2 and a half. What does she know about desire? You know, and these are things that were not discussed in front of her. You know, I can say that before you and before God. That those words are, you know, it's incredible. And then the other time she said, the desire of the king is you get burned. That you get burned. And I was like, that you get burned? And I heard the Lord say, am I not a consuming fire? So it's learning, you know, all that time. You're not wasting your time when you're sitting and waiting on God for something special that he's promised you. You're not wasting your time. Now, you can forfeit that time if you don't grab a hold of it and learn from him of what he's trying to teach you as you wait. And so in that time of training, I was being trained so that I could now turn around and train her. And we do something kind of special here and there so I can kind of teach her how to hear from God. And it's about fine-tuning your hearing so that when they come to you, you know how to explain things. And you won't miss what God is trying to tell you through your children, your grandchildren, your spiritual children. And so, you know, the fine-tuning is extremely important. And teaching her how to sit at God's feet. We do something at home. We'll set up a tent. We'll set up the tent, and it's our tent of meeting with the Lord. And so, you know, I'll put on music, and I'll get her in there, and she'll be bouncing around. You know, she'll try to fix the tent and take it down and put it back up and all kinds of things like that. But the point is, I'm teaching her how to sit at his feet and get to practice how to hear from God every day. And so today we were practicing again on the way to school, and I want to read to you how she said it. You know, and sometimes she'll say, God said I could have that ice cream. She'll try. It's you know, and I don't say this just, you know, because I'm not trying to puff her up. Please know my heart. Okay, it's just that it's from sitting at his feet and learning from him and then training her, training those that come behind. Because it may be that young Christian who, how do I hear from God? I don't know how to hear from God. You know, but because you've been trained and you've practiced and you've sat at his feet, now you have something to teach that one coming behind you. And so then, you know, I'll finally get her to a place of being quiet. Listen, what's God saying to you, Annie? What's he saying? And today she said, God says to pray for the people who don't do good, who don't worship Jesus in the highest. I mean, let that settle in for a minute, because that's the heart of God, is that we pray. I'm taking a lot of time, right? I'm past my 5 minutes. And so, you know, I really do want to wrap it up, but I just really want to urge you that in the place that you are right now, that you take the time. It's worth it. It's worth it. He's going to use where you are right now to prepare you for that thing that's coming later. That gift, that promise, that new job, that new boss who might drive you a little crazy, you know, things, different things. But he's preparing you now, and that's what this time is for, is to learn how to run to him and sit at his feet and hear what he has to say, listen to his heart, and let it go here, not just here. She said, God says to pray for the people who don't do good, who don't worship Jesus in the highest.
Okay. Wow. I'm going to springboard off of Liz, because like Liz, I have a little girl who says things and I go. And both Liz and I, you didn't bring up your book. Yeah, I know. We used to say when Annie was born and Victoria was walking around that Annie was going to prophesy over them and Victoria was going to pray for them once they were down. Victoria, like Annie, and like a lot of your kids, for us to be fine-tuned to hear what God says to us, we've also have to hear what God says about our children. And we're not going to hear what God says about our children unless we're fine-tuned to hear God's voice ourselves. And so it's not just that we're missing out for ourselves if we're not fine-tuned. We're missing out for the next generation. We're missing out for our children. When Victoria was really small, she used to pray for things that I didn't know she had any idea of. I forget, how old was she when she prayed for your dad? Was she like two? She was like 2 years old. Yeah. And she was saying her prayers, and she doesn't know Eleanor's dad at all. And she was saying her prayers, and she was just, you know, and Lord, I pray for Miss Eleanor's dad. Watch over and protect him. So the next day, I was talking to Eleanor, just, you know, and I was like, hey, by the way, how's your dad? And she goes, oh, he's fine, da-da-da, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, Victoria prayed for him last night. I was just wondering how he was doing. Next day, her father's was a bank guard. The day after that, the bank that her father works at got held up. And her father was in danger. So both of us were like, you know, okay, you know, we better start writing these things down. Having three older boys and not getting it right with them, I have an opportunity to get it right with my daughter. The boys, I mean, I knew their calling on their lives, but I didn't nurture it as they were growing up, to my detriment. And so now they love the Lord and they're saved, but they're not in ministry that I know God has for them. So with Victoria, I'm setting a stage for her so that if she ever gets to be a teenager and starts questioning what is my calling, what has God called me to do, if she ever gets there. Like Liz, I have a journal that I keep for Victoria, and when it's her prayer journal, though she's too young to keep it herself, I keep it for her. And when she prays, and she prays for things that, you know, just are not normal, I write it down. And if ever it comes back to that prayer God answered, the date and how it was answered are all written in there. So if she ever, you know, becomes a teenager and loses her mind and goes off kilter, I can say, here, I've kept this for you. Read it. And so I, you know, springing off of Liz, I wanted to say that. But the other thing is that she watches me, the boys also, but she watches me intently to see what my relationship with God is. That's an awesome responsibility. I take that very seriously, but I've learned to not just take it seriously for myself, for her, but for myself. And the thing that God's really been showing me in how I hear from him is bring it all back to the Word. This past year, he's really stressed upon my heart to, I love to study. I can study till the cows come home. You can come over to my house and find concordances and all kinds of Bibles and whatever, all over the floor, all over the dining room table, whatever. I love to study. But memorizing, I kind of left by the wayside somewhere. And God challenged me this year and said, you know, your studying is good, but if somebody said to me, you know, what does such and such say, it's not here. You know what I mean? And God's been challenging me to say that if you need to use that sword, you've got to know it. And the only way you're going to know it is by memorizing. And the way that God's been training me new to hear from him is to bring it all back to the Word. Not just studying it, but bring it back to the Word. And when he shows me something and he speaks it to me, it's not just, okay, now that you know it and you understand it and you've, you know, studied it through and researched it and everything, okay, now take it and memorize it and start really seeding it in. And so that's where God has me right now. And it's been a progression. I mean, when you first get saved, you hear it at a certain level. And as you grow in the Lord, he trains you higher, you know, like, you know, they're not going to train a kindergartner the way they treat a high school kid. And God does the same thing with us. And so as we progress and as we go along, God changes how we learn. And the other thing I just wanted to say was that the time that we spend. If you get a phone call from somebody that, you know, like if somebody calls you that you know really good, they don't even have to tell you who they are, unless it's my mother and she has this thing that she does. And, hello, Denise, this is your mother. You know, I didn't know. but if it's a voice you really, really know, they don't have to tell you who they are. They just start talking, and you recognize their voice. If it's someone you haven't heard from for a long time, it takes you a couple minutes. If it's somebody you don't know whatsoever, you don't know them from Adam. God's the same way. Our relationship with God is the same way. The more time we spend with him, the more we're going to recognize his voice, and the more we're going to be in tune to what he's saying to us.
Trust is like a huge theme in my life. Just trust on every level imaginable. When it comes to hearing God, trust is a big thing. Do you trust that it's God? Do you trust yourself that you hear God? When my kids were younger, I remember that Chris, who's about to turn 30, that's a bad thing. he was invited to spend the night with a couple of boys someplace, and we prayed, and I was real uncomfortable with him going, but I didn't have a reason to not let him go. And we are reasonable people because our kids say, why? I don't know. So I said, okay, you can go because I don't have a reason. Well, he called about midnight. Mom, they're watching porn. I said, I'll be right there. Okay, hello. You heard the voice of God. You ignored it. Do you trust me? Well, yeah, I just don't trust me. So it took a lot of years. Did we ever make that mistake again? Oh, yeah, because I don't have a reason to say no. I'm such an idiot. Okay. And so once again, my kid was put in the path of danger. And it happened several times. And then there would be times that I'd say, absolutely not, and I have no clue why. And Chris would go, no problem. And he'd take that as a no and stay and find out later there was a disaster. And that got to where, even as they were married, they'd call and say, Mom, how do you feel about this? I don't have to know why. But, you know, it's a progression. You know, like she said, I've got two dogs. And if you attend this church, you've heard about the two dogs from my husband. When you get them in their puppies, and you're going, come, come, come! All right? And they might, if they turn around and happen to see you, wander their way over to you. And you're going, oh, good boy, good boy, good boy. All right, my big dog, my lab, because it's a lab's nature to please, I can look at him and go, and he's right there. I want to be that lab. I want to not just hear, I want to just know. We don't have to have fireworks go off that say, the voice of God is speaking. You know? We do think we have to hear that, don't we? We don't have to hear that. Sometimes we don't hear a thing. We just know. We have to trust that God loves us enough to not let us make a huge mistake. Are we going to make mistakes? I do. And I bet you I'm not the only one. Okay? But we learn from those. If we never made a mistake, we'd never learn anything. At least that's the way I work. All right. Ephesians 3:16, by the way, this is how to work on memory verses. Little 3x5 cards. You can write them, or because I can write it and then not have a clue what I wrote, I typed it. All right. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through a spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Gee, I sense a theme here someplace. All right? It's that trust, but there's one more word that goes with that, ladies, and that's joy. All right? God wants us to trust him so we can walk in his joy. He wants to speak in our ear so we can walk in his joy. That means we're not walking around all the time like this. All right? We have to take the self-pity and dump it someplace. We have to step on it. We have to jump on its pointed little head. Whatever we have to do, you know, drop, kick it out the door. That joy should be here. If people can't look at you and see joy, I promise you they're not seeing Jesus. And if we want people to look at us and see Jesus, this has got to be a reflection. Doesn't matter the makeup, doesn't matter the hair. The countenance is what people are going to see. And they're not going to believe that we hear God when we look like we don't have a clue what the joy of the Lord is.
Hi, I'm Bambi. Some of you know me, some don't, because I'm not as seen as I used to be. I am a breast cancer survivor, presently surviving. It's been 3 years since my surgery, the last one. I had cancer 17 years ago, and it came back 3 years ago. And we fight for my life daily. But God has given a promise, and I walk on that. And I guess that what I'm here to talk about is why I'm able to hold on today. And that is hearing God in the creative ways and using the creative to give you something to hold on to when you don't have anything to hold on to. This week, Shelby had a project, and she was paper macheing a mask, and she had 2 days to do it in, and it ended up that the paper mache didn't work. And so 24 hours before her project was due, she was standing with nothing. And I said to her, why don't you pray and ask God to give you an idea? And I was kind of shocked by her response, because she said, oh, yeah, right, and he can give it to me in 10 minutes. And God said, that's what you're to speak on. Because unlike Denise, I did it right with my firstborn. Like Michelle, he's grown up in the church. My children were there. I got out of the hospital in the next service. That's where I was. And my child was with me. And Matt was raised in the church, and he was raised with the word, and he was raised with the zeal, and he was raised with the creative. But the girls in the last 3 years, because I've been fighting for my life, they've not seen it. And it was, I looked at Shelby and I said, yes, he can. And, you know, we hear creative and we think the beautiful work that's here today and what Stephanie did and Judy did. And we think, oh, yeah, they can be creative. They can hear God in the creative. But God speaks to you, and he gives you pictures. And you take that. I'm going to get a drink. I'm sorry. I'm shaking. I haven't done this in years. You know, you hear something and you think, well, what's that good for? And I know years ago when my children were little, I prayed for them. And God told me what each one would be. And then years later, as I was moving in, I mean, I don't consider myself creative. I can copy anything, but I don't find that, you know, I'm not artistic where I can draw. What?
I'm not.
Every banner in the house.
But those were all given to me. You know, I did not, God designed them. God gives me pictures, and then the things that were handed down from my mother, you know, I can sew, I can do all those things, and so I use the tools that I have to do. And I know years ago, God gave me, because we were in the quilt thing, you know, everybody had a quilt, everybody had a prayer quilt, and there were, we had the flags, and there was a flag for everything. Yes, church. We had a hanky for everything. We had bags, and we had hankies for every, you know, every flag was a hanky, and you know we had them out, and it was like, okay, what hanky are we gonna wave today? And we did the hankies, and then we did the quilts, and they were, you know, everybody who wants to learn how to pray has to pray on a quilt, and so you know we did those, but. Because
we don't take ourselves too seriously.
No, we did though. We were real serious at the time.
You know, see how we've learned.
That's right. We were very serious then. We can laugh about today, but we were real serious then.
They're all still good tools.
But you know, even in all that, we laugh. God gave me pictures of what exactly my children to do. And, for instance, and I'm going to use Shelby, and she's going to be mad at me when I get home. I'm going to leave Reagan alone. but Shelby is an intercessor. That's what God said she was to be. And so he said, make her a quilt. Because, see, I train my children, and I teach my children, and I try to impart to my children so that I can leave a legacy. I don't have money to give. I don't have a house to give. You know, I won't have a car to give by the time the kids are done wrecking it. You know, five kids drive my car and I've got bangs everywhere, so I won't have a decent car to give away. But the things that I leave will be legacies. And so God showed me what Shelby's quilt was to be. And it was to be, we did the log cabin, which is, Shelby's name means where God dwells. And so I designed a quilt that was the log cabin in the colors of blue and brown, blue meaning the revelation of God, the presence of God, brown being the intercession. And I made that, and in the back was all brown. Where I may have over the past years, due to illness, failed to impart to Shelby that God can give you an answer in a day. I have given her something that will speak into the prophetic when I'm not around. The Holy Spirit knows. I have prophetically said, God says she's an intercessor. She will pray for the ones that God gives her on her heart. And that quilt is a constant standard to say she's an intercessor. You know, Phil's is a lover of horses, and he's the love boy. So his was 120 scrappy hearts with wild horses on the back that he would love order. Phil is not in the church right now. He says, you know, he's not away from God, but he says he's tired of coming to church when he leaves the same. And this generation is looking, Michelle, to be changed. They don't want to come in and go out and be the same where we may be willing to do that. And so, but see, I know that God said he's a lover of horses. God said that he's going to love the order in his life. And so even though he's away, I made that quilt years ago, and it's still in his room, and he doesn't know that it's declaring God's word. It stands in that room, and it says, Phil, you are a love boy. You will love the word of God. You will love God. Your life will be a life of order. See, when I'm gone, it still will speak for me. And how do we do that? We have to listen. And it's not, like Denise said, it's not here. It's here. And then you have to do what God says to do for you. Just like, you know, I have a breast cancer bracelet. That says that I'm a survivor. I mean, I put that on today, saying, yes, I am a survivor, and I will be a survivor. And if we in the world do that, how much more should we in the church do that? You know, Matt now has on his wall, Michelle, the hankies and the flags. Do you not know that I have forgotten what they even mean? You know, Matt had to remind me what it was all about when I made it. But it stands and it declares when I'm not there to declare. What has God spoken to you for your husband, for your family, for your children, for your neighbors, for your workplace? That he's wanting you to declare. And will you leave something? And it just, you know, it's like I walk into the nail salon and there's a little Buddhist sitting there. And I, when they walk away, I go, my God is bigger than your God. You know, they have their Buddhas there. And I know that that's saying something. I know that Buddha is declaring something. And so I just declare him back. My God's bigger than yours. And I did it every time they walked away. You know what? Because I'm not going to let that declaration go. So, you know, I encourage you. Listen. And then do what God says. You don't have to be an artist to be creative. You don't have to be. Is it easier? Sure it is. But that doesn't mean that you have to be. Listen and then do.
Pretty tough acts to follow. Hearing God in the everyday. There are many ways to hear God every day. By reading your word, by sitting under the teaching of the word. God speaks to us when pastor's preaching. He speaks to us when we offer our worship to him, to minister to him. I like to say that worship, when you come into the house of God, is not to make you feel better. It's to minister to God. He created us to worship him. And so when we worship him, he gets up off of his throne and he twirls around, like it says in Zephaniah, and you catch the wind of his garment as he's twirling. That's your prize. That's your blessing. That's what makes you feel good, the wind of his garment as he twirls over you, as you minister to him in worship. So there are different ways to hear from God. The way God speaks to me and gets my attention is through my dreams. I've been a dreamer ever since I was a little girl. I can remember being small, and my grandmother, God rest her soul now, would say to me, now, baby, when you have a dream, you let me know. And sure as right as rain, whenever I'd have a dream, I'd let her know, and she'd go play the numbers. She'd go play the numbers on my dreams, and she'd win every time. And she'd give me a little bit. Now, the next time you have a dream, baby, You let Grandma know.
Don't think I haven't asked. $6 million, you know.
But God has been using my dreams to speak to me ever since I was a little girl. And when I was about 9 years old, Jersey born and bred, we used to come to Florida every summer. After school was out, my parents couldn't wait to load us up in that car and head us down I-95 and drop us off in our grandmother's driveway and get back on the road, get away from us. But we would stay all summer down here in Florida until time to go back to school, which was Labor Day. They'd come get us just in the nick of time. We'd get home. All our school clothes were already laid out on the bed for us. We didn't even get to go shopping. They were leaving us there till the very last minute. My grandmother the one that lives down here, she used to take us to a lot of tent meetings. And she took us to a tent meeting. I was 9, and I'll always remember this because we sat in the car while she was in the tent. It was hot and the mosquitoes, and we cracked the windows and tried not to let the mosquitoes in, but then we tried not to suffocate. And back then they didn't have, you know, the laws. DCF wouldn't come and save you. If your grandmother left you in the hot car, she just left you in the hot car. But but we were in that car, and she came, and we were just about asleep. The tent service was just about over, and she came, and she, wake up, wake up, and she drug us into that tent, and she lined me and my older brother up, and she said, now pray for my grandchildren, because they bad. The evangelist was Billy Graham. Billy Graham prayed for me when I was 9 years old, and when that man got done praying for me, that was the last thing I remembered. I woke up in the back seat of the car. It was my first experience being slain in the spirit. And I believe that God at that point in my life was trying to instruct me for the lack of instruction that I had. They loved the Lord, but they didn't have enough rooted in groundedness to be able to cultivate the legacy that I'm trying to cultivate for my daughter and my grandchild. And so they just did what they were taught, which was they tried to be good, but it wasn't God's best, okay? Because you don't play the numbers on your grandchildren's dreams. But as a result of that, God began to place in my life people who later on I've grown to know were instrumental in guiding me down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I had a Sunday school teacher, and I loved drama because I wanted to grow up and be this great screen actor and have Academy Awards on my, and it didn't work. I was a theater major and went to William Patterson State College in Wayne, New Jersey. And I had a Sunday school teacher who used to always say to me, the Bible is full of wonderful manuscripts. Pick a story, any story, find a character you like and learn the lines. That was my introduction to memorizing scripture because I loved the theater and I could read my lines. I was a dancer and an actor and I loved it, and it was just, it was what made me go. So learning lines, I would do just that. Pick a story, treat it like it was a manuscript, learn the lines. So it gave me a love for Bible stories, you know, and I tried to pass the love of reading down to my daughter, and you know, always telling her, if you have a dream, let me know, and we'll understand it. Well, what dreaming for me has done, it helps me in the everyday because it forces me to go to the Word. Because God gives me a dream, and if I don't have enough of the Word in me, I'm just going to think it's the pizza I ate the night before. Sometimes it is the pizza you eat. I try to stay away from pizza. I try. Operative word, try. But you have to know the Word so that you can hold the Word up to what God has given you so that it makes sense. So I'm currently living in a season of living off of a dream that God gave me. I love wisdom. And I love wisdom so much. My daughter, I hope she loves wisdom too, because her manner of discipline when she was growing up was if she did anything, we would give her a lecture, and she's like, just beat me. Just beat me. Don't lecture me. Just beat me. But we would give her a lecture, and then I'd make her sit down and write down the first 4 chapters of Proverbs, and I want it all written out. So she's quite acquainted with the first 4 chapters of Proverbs, which is all about wisdom. She probably doesn't read the first four chapters of Proverbs these days. You know, but, you know, giving her that, and, you know, of course, we gave her a drug problem, too. You know, we drug her to church on Sunday. We drug her to youth on Wednesday. We drug her to church Sunday night. We just kept dragging that girl to church. I would try to teach her how to line her dreams up with the Word. Now, this is what your dream says. Now, what can you think of from the Word of God that matches that? That, you know, what is he trying to say to you through your dreams? I had a visitation and a dream from Wisdom that I shared at the Remnant Tent. And this has been about 6 years ago. And I just want to share a small excerpt from that with you, because it's where I'm living right now. Wisdom appeared to me. She took me down a corridor. It was a beautiful corridor. The first half of the corridor had names on doors on either side. And then there was this archway, beautiful carpentry work, intricate. And on the other side of that were doors with names on them that were similar to some of the doors before you reached the structure. And it was, the first part of that corridor was all of my transgressions before I came to a saving knowledge of Christ. The second half of that corridor was my transgressions after I'd come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And some of the names on the door was Jezebel and self-righteousness and judgment and just some of these things. And so Wisdom escorted me to each room. I don't know if some of you have heard this before, but the Jezebel room, there was a chair with a small child sitting in it, and an open window, and two eunuchs standing on either side. And I said to Wisdom, you know, what is this? And she said, that's Jezebel in your life. I'm like, well, throw her out the window. Well, there's no problem with that. Throw out the window, whistle for the dogs. Call the horses, whistle for the dogs. And then it hit me in the dream, I would never hurt a child. What am I saying? I would never hurt a child. But see, Wisdom said, that's your problem. You tolerate Jezebel in your life until she's a full-grown woman, a formidable foe. Then you have a harder time wrestling her and getting her out that window. You know, so there were so many lessons for me in my life from that dream. But the second door was judgment. There were two wooden tables in there. My father was on one of them, and he was being tortured. And I said to Wisdom, what? You know, I don't see anybody tormenting him, but he's being tormented, and I got to stop this. And she's, you're the tormentor. And I'm like, I would never do that to my father. I got to get him off that table. She said, well, because what measure you judge? Your judgments are what's fueling the torment. And so I'm like, well, who's the other table for? She's like, you, because what measure you judge, so shall you be judged. You know, that goes a long way. I was like, oh, my God, I got to stop. You know, my prayers I thought were so pure and honest. You know, Lord, you know, bring my father into the church. You know, his armchair Christianity. He sits there every Sunday and he watches all the televangelists. And, you know, and they'll even tell you, find a local church. Why won't he? But see, that's reserving judgment in my heart. Let God be God. God knows how to deal with Samuel Potter. Not me. It's not my place. My place is to love him and pray for him with a pure heart, not witchcraft prayers. Pure prayers. And that third door was honor. And by the time Wisdom was done with me talking about honor, I was in a heap on the floor in the dream asking her if she had the power to kill me, because I just didn't want to live anymore. And she said, no, get up. We're not done. We approached the last door, which is the door of truth. I asked if we could go in, and Wisdom said, I've waited a long time for you to ask. I had the nerve to say to Wisdom, like I knew anything, that I knew what was in that room. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the light. John 14. Her response was, your answer is honest, but there's a difference between honesty and truth, and this too you will find. As I stepped into that room, I heard, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the way, the end of that way leads to death. I was hearing all different passages of scriptures. It seemed like they were all being spoken all at once, but yet each could be understood clearly. And the living word was dwelling in that room like a mix of fire and water intertwined in the center of that room, like the remnant of smoke on an altar, living, swirling, alive, and hazy like a fog. Wisdom instructed me that the difference between honesty and truth, we think when we're honest that we're being truthful. Truth is linked to honor. Wisdom said that I like to factor in facts with my honesty, so that it seems like truth, at least to me. Facts are facts. Honesty is good, but truth comes from God and is God and will always be God. The truth of the Lord is love. The truth of the Lord is love. She said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no account of wrong. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. We don't walk in truth. We like to walk in honesty and facts. True truth is love. True truth is love. Are you getting a theme? The love. True truth is love. I asked wisdom, if fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, why didn't Solomon ask for you? Wouldn't that have kept him from falling? And she said to me, if you'll allow, I will lead you back to my beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is more precious than anything. And if you allow her to walk with you, she's the very countenance of God. If you allow her to walk with you daily, you'll hear whatever God has to say by submitting yourself to the wisdom of God.
Wow. Oh, goodness. I look forward to reading the book that has all your dreams in it and the explanations. And don't laugh. Don't laugh. Yeah. I just am so excited to be able to be with you guys for this conference. My name is Sherry Hawley, and this is my first time to be a part of the Keep. About 3 years ago, 2.5, I met your precious pastor's wife at some lady's something. I don't remember what. All I remember was meeting this lady who was so fired up for the things of God, and she was intense. And she didn't mean to be overbearing in any way, but she just was so in love with God. And I went, man, I want to get around her. I want some of that to rub off on me. Man, oh, man. And as I have had opportunity to be around Renee, we only recently moved to Florida from North Carolina. Now, I am a native. I grew up in Pensacola, which is kind of like a whole nother world for Florida. We're like our own state. We're really L.A., lower Alabama up there. Spent 25 years in North Carolina with my precious husband involved in ministry. And the Lord just recently, about almost 4 years ago soon, brought us back to this area. And we are so aware that this is a new day for the church. This is a new day for the body of Christ if we will hear it and embrace it, if we will simply wake up and realize that. And I'm sitting here just amazed, Renee. You guys have great depth in this church because each of you ladies have brought a powerful word already today. And the question, the basic question has been, how do we hear from God? How do we hear from God on a daily basis? And the one word that comes to mind for me is positioning. You know, we position ourselves, and we habitually position ourselves to be able to hear from Him. Several years ago when my children were small, I was in a, you know, you're just in conferences and you hear things, and sometimes the Holy Spirit, thank the Lord, will wake us up and make us hear something. And this was an aha moment for me. And the speaker said, if you will spend just 5 minutes a day working on focusing on a particular issue, within 5 years, you will be considered proficient in that area. For example, if you decided you wanted to learn Spanish, if you just took 5 minutes a day, every day for 5 years, at the end of that time, you would be considered proficient in the language of Spanish. And I just began to ponder that because the Lord kept bringing it to me again and again. And I realized that what he was saying to me was, Sherry, I'm not concerned about I'm not concerned about what you can spit back out. I want you to begin to develop a discipline for being in my word. And I have to be honest with you, ladies. I was one of those all or nothing kind of people. Mm-hmm. And if I skipped a day, such guilt and condemnation came on me that I could hardly pray for another week. You know, oh, I failed you, God, I failed you. He was very small in that kind of box. And I had to open the box and understand God is a whole lot bigger than one day skipped in my life, one day of focusing missed. And so when that freedom came, when that understanding came, then it just became this great adventure, and the 5 minutes turned into 20, and the 20 minutes turned into an hour. And then my children started requiring a lot of time, and there wasn't an hour. And so I had to learn that for a woman in particular, there are seasons in our lives. And God graciously, I had another aha moment, and a person spoke into my life and said, just leave the Bible open all over your house, and then just as you can, grab it up. And so as you're passing with laundry, you know, you grab a scripture for that day. I lived out of the little loaf on the table, you know, pull the scripture for the day. It was almost like a fortune cookie, but not quite. And it was in one of those snatched moments with the Lord that he gave me Isaiah 40:11 that I stood on for several years, where he said, I will gently lead those that are with young. And as a young mother, that became the scripture that I held to. And he spoke to my heart and said, Sherry, right now you don't have a full hour. Honey, if I sat down for an hour while my kids were little, I was asleep. I mean, my Lord. I have young mothers all the time because my girls, I have three daughters, and they were all born very close together in less than 5 years. I have young mothers all the time say, when did yours start sleeping through the night? And I try to change the subject because, honey, I didn't sleep for about 6 years. There was always one kid or two that had an earache, or they were an upset stomach, you know, that projectile vomiting thing going on. It's about 6 years I did not sleep. And so God was gracious in that time in my life, and he helped me to understand, Sherry, I'm bigger than the boxes you try to make me fit in. And so essentially, ladies, and I don't mean to sound simplistic, but I think that what Michelle brought to us this morning was so true. She was going, oh, this is so basic, but it was profound. That's the awesome thing about God's Word. And now as I'm going back through, and I've used several different Bibles, you know, and go through those one-year Bibles. They're fabulous. And I have a chronological Bible that I've read through several times. And it's just so awesome to go back through and come across on a particular day, you come across a scripture that's underlined from 8 years ago, and you suddenly are just overwhelmed with God's grace in those intervening years, and understanding why, looking back and remembering, oh, how powerful that scripture was for you the morning that you underlined it, and how you wondered, God, how are you going to open the Red Sea in my life at this moment? And now that Red Sea moment is a monument to the goodness of God that's walking me through the difficulties of today. He reminds me from yesterday how powerful and strong he was, and how faithful he was. And it gives me the courage that I need to be able to step out on today's stormy water. And so for me, it's just that one simple word. How do you hear from the Lord on a daily basis? You position yourself. Positioning. And I dare say he doesn't give Ellie a dream every night. And I dare say that, you know, that your trust hasn't been called into question every day. But as we habitually position ourselves, then when we do need to call upon the power of God, it's already there. And he draws it up from the well that is deep within us. And I'm thankful for that.
Well, I'll try not to be long since you already heard. Had to hear me for about an hour this morning. But if you heard some of those stories that were going on, I've always thought of myself as a bit like, if you've seen the movie Steel Magnolias, I was kind of like Julia Roberts in that, being drug around with all the wild women all of my life. And so actually a lot of my sharing for a little bit about how I hear God, I have to be honest, because of growing up around people that hear God through dreams or prophecy or crying on the floor all night or lots of quilts and lots of hankies and lots of colors and numbers and anointing oil of all different flavors and smells. And lots of, must be said, Dad just walked in up there. Lots of great preaching, you know, at the pulpit and then also obviously at home if we did anything wrong, from both Mom and Dad. I think in some ways it wasn't, will I hear God, but how do I hear God? And I'd have a dream, and does that mean something? Or I think I had a word, and was that me? And or do I need to fall on the floor? Do I need to hear it this way? And almost like for quite a few years, if I can say this, maybe it's irreverent in church, kind of like the schizophrenic way of hearing God. I'd have a dream that probably did mean something one night and wasn't quite sure, and then I'd open my Bible and something would just leap out on the pages, and I'd be praying for someone. I would clearly hear, as clear as you can, really the Spirit of God leading you, as if speaking to you. And I guess for me, the thing that God's most taught me over the last few years, and probably it's because I have been in Oxford for 6 years, and then in the last 4 years, being called into being a pastor at a church with my husband, is almost learning to trust that I hear God how he wants to speak to me for myself. And maybe some of you from young to old here might be listening to these what should be, and they're not meant to be anything but encouraging examples of how to hear God. And it's making you go, oh, well, I've never heard God that way, or I could never be that way, or that's not how it is in my life. And mostly it's just been, like Sherry just said, positioning myself and being in that place in my relationship with God that when he speaks, however he speaks, trusting it's him. And not going, can I phone a friend, please? Where's my lifeline? There's been lots, and not that you don't need accountability, and not that you don't need the mentors or the pastors in your life. You definitely need those. But there's been so many times sitting in my office in Oxford across from, you know, some student that's pouring their hearts out, and deep inside, I'm trying not to show it, and I'm going, I really wish you were talking to my mother or father right now, because it would go a lot better. I really wish, wait, I got to pray for you now at the end of this, you know? And maybe that scares you that I'm in a role of being a pastor and still feeling that, but I guess I'm just being honest. I guess everyone has to learn somewhere, and learning to stop and say, God, I know you're there, and I know that you want to speak. And stopping and waiting and letting him do that and trusting that it is him. I've always been one that I hear from my study in the Word of God. You know, maybe it was debate class, maybe it was all the sermons that I've, you know, sat under. I just naturally when I'm asked to speak something, when I look at the Bible, I hear points. I know my argument. Most of the time it has alliteration. It drives Peter up a wall, you know. It's you know, mom and dad. I've grown up under it all of my life. And I hear God very clearly when I'm studying God's word, and that's great because I have to give a lot of sermons all the time. But another way recently that God's just been challenging me again, because I think for anyone, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a Bible study leader, whether you are a teacher, a preacher somewhere else and from a different church, it can get so easy that the only time you're stopping and hearing God is when you have to share something for someone else. And in a way, it cheapens it. In a way, it's only digging in when you need something, when you have to produce something for someone else. And God is constantly bringing me back to, do you want to hear me for me just for what I have to say to you, not when you have to give it to someone else? And that probably is the biggest challenge of my day-to-day life with this season that I'm in now. And God's just been bringing me back, bringing us back, my husband and I, and with the student ministry recently, and just waiting on God, stopping talking for a while. Talking's in my blood. I can do it a lot. And just saying, I trust you enough that if we wait and give this time over to you, God, you'll show us what to do. And we're Anglicans, you know, very spirit-filled Anglicans over there, but we're Anglicans. And in some ways, maybe that seems really natural coming from a Pentecostal point of view, maybe this church. I know that happens a lot, but that weekend away I was talking about earlier, we just decided to let the Saturday evening session, just all the students come in after we had had a mega afternoon of Capture the Flag. Team Tepper didn't win, though. It was a little bit sad. But we came in second place. So we had played Capture the Flag all afternoon, and we had all geared up as our student team. We were going to just leave the evening session to just waiting on God. And we weren't even going to start with worship, because that can just grease the wheels so much and get you in a frenzy. Not saying worship's bad. I was doing it last night. I love it. But we just wanted, with no hype, to just go, we're just going to give these next 2 hours and see what you have to say. And may I admit, maybe I shouldn't, we'll take it phone-in questions in a second. sorry. Sorry. That's bad. That's because the leader of the Zach Trust in England always says that. I got that from him. That was not me.
Quick learner.
I have to admit that I was really scared, ladies. We were leading it, and I'm going, oh, great, 2 hours. Come on, God. Please. You know he's going to show up, but do you really know? And will he show up enough that these 60 students, or actually 75 students, wouldn't be like, oh, great, meet with God. That was the most boring session. And as we sat, and as we waited, and as Peter and I, as the leaders, really probably bit our tongues to not be filling that quiet space with something from the front all the time. Little by little, the students that had never before said anything, were getting up with their Bible verses, were crying out in prayer for Oxford, were leading spontaneous songs, and the Spirit of God did show up powerfully. And I knew he could, but is it wrong that I was so surprised? Maybe a little, but maybe that's because we don't often wait. It's all that what all the women just said. And I just keep being brought back to that and brought back to that. We fill our lives with so much chatter. And a lot is good Christian chatter that is all those good facts that Eleanor was speaking about. And God just says, listen to me. Know my word. Listen to me. And you're not going to go wrong. So that's me.
Wow. Didn't they do great? Now's your chance.
Hello? Is this thing on?
Yes. What?
I just wanted to say that the last two ladies speaking talked about positioning themselves. It encapsulates everything. If you just position yourself, if you get quiet before God, it's and I have to go back to the theater analogy because that was my major in college. When you're in a performance, you sit in the audience quietly. You let the people on stage do all the talking. Otherwise, you're deemed a heckler, you know. So if you would position yourself at the feet of the Father, you have the best seat in the house.
You know, you sent that on my text Tuesday. Eleanor, God bless her, sends a word on Tuesdays. She wasn't exactly sending it to me in the beginning, and I whined. And I'm like, how come you don't send it to me? So every Tuesday I look forward to my word. And it was that this Tuesday, and I literally, I inadvertently deleted it. But I wanted to bring that forth. And that was the word, that we'll have the best seat in the house if we'll position ourselves at his throne, sit down at his feet, and just be ready. And that's literally what you're doing this weekend. You've said, I'm here. You actually believed me, and you didn't run off and do errands. And we've heard some tremendous things. And we have only begun. I know Sherry is new to our group, but I'm loving it. I'm loving it that she's loving it. She did my accent pretty good, didn't she? Her and then Denise Bordenga, of course. She does the accent very well. It's natural for her. We want to position ourselves, ladies, but I do. Do you have questions? You have something that you want to ask, something they said you don't understand, something that you feel like you know about them that needed to come out.
Anything. Phone-in's welcome at this point.
Go, phone-in, go. Good. Oh, okay. Well, Arlene first.
Not necessarily a question, but you know, as we as women, as we go through our lives and the struggles that we go through, you know, it's nice to see someone else transparent like you are, who have the same thoughts and the same struggles that we do, that we can sort of identify with. And that's what I was thinking as I was listening to everything that you were saying.
And that's exactly why I had these women. I mean, mother, businesswoman, mother. How many years have you had? You've been doing the doctor's office pediatrics, Denise, for what, 13 years?
When I'm all done, when Victoria leaves the pediatrics office, I'll be there 31 years.
See, that's a long time to be in the pediatric office. She's learned a thing or two, some of you new moms. I was going to, who was it talking about the Sherry, when she was saying she's didn't sleep for the first 6 years. I was looking for you, Stephanie, to hold your ears.
I'm trying to
hide. I want sleep. Right. All to Jesus I surrender. Did you have a question?
I'm sorry, I don't think very well when I'm thinking about it.
Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. Hopefully my question doesn't sound stupid, but I've had dreams before. And I've written them down, but I've never really sought the guidance to figure out what they meant. I do remember them. A lot of them have made a big impact on me. I know that they're significant. There's a message that I need to know. But what I need, or should I go to one of you ladies anytime that I may have something like that? Or could I come to you guys to, I don't know. Yeah.
It's a good question. It's a good question. And yes, there are Titus women in this church for you to be able to come to, okay? You made a good point that you write them down. I encourage anybody who has a dream to write it down.
And date it.
You know, write it down and date it. You know, I was just speaking with someone last night who is a nursing student. Any good nurse or doctor doesn't go into a patient's room without the chart or without their stethoscope, okay? If you know that God speaks to you through dreams, keep a little journal, a notebook, and a pen at your bedside so that it's accessible. And then you have to pray and ask God, what meaneth this? You know, you got to spend time before him and asking him, you gave me something, now expound on it, God. You know, show me in your word what you mean. Show me how this is going to affect my life or the life of those around me. A dream, most of the time, is for you. It could be for someone else. there's just a large spectrum of how God speaks to you through your dreams. I've dreamt about some of you sitting here, you know. Where is she? Oh, she's at school right now. I had a dream about Susan, about her current husband, whom she was not dating at the time. So you have to ask God first. First, go before your Father. Everything needs to be Father-filtered. Everything in our lives needs to be Father-filtered. Okay? And then if you need some help in you know, you need to come to one of those Titus women with, this is what God has said to me. Okay? Because we probably won't entertain any of it unless you've gone to God first. First and foremost. Otherwise, we'll be running around in a circle. Like she said at the Happy Church, you know, we might as well just put us all in the rubber room at the Yap Yap Farm, because we'll just be a bunch of silly rabbits. You know, oh, I had a dream. Well, what does this mean? God will let you know. He is faithful that way. He will let you know. He doesn't give you something to just leave you hanging. He's full circle God, full service God, from soup to nuts. He'll do it all. Okay? So you continue to write them down, and then you ask God, in what season is this for? Because sometimes he'll give you a dream, and it'll be years before you understand. You know, especially if it's a weighty dream, if it's really got some deep things in it, and he'll continue to speak to you over those years, like what I shared today, 6 years now. You know, I try to walk with wisdom daily, but God is still feeding me from his word from 6 years ago. So find the Titus women, but find God first.
Okay. Thank you.
And the book of Titus, in case those of you are new and don't know the book of Titus, it talks that older women should train the younger women. Oh, and there's instruction for every bit of life in God's word. When we say Father filtered, what we mean is you pray to God and then open up the word and ask him. Now, I can't say that we didn't represent a little bit of craziness every time we got a new revelation. We did. You know, Michelle has made quite a bit of fun of us over the years. And yes, she was drugged. And yes, we were the Steel Magnolias, but not just Michelle, Michael, and Sam, and Sarah. You know, they know what it's been like living with somebody that is extremely transparent and excited and wants everybody to know what they know, which is, and you don't even know what you know, but you want them to know too. And that's how it was with dreams around here. When God exploded in the house with people dreaming left and right, it became overwhelming, Sherry. I mean, it was during the years of revival, and we started having to have precedence. All right? Don't come to anybody until you write it down. I mean, it got so overwhelming, the dreaming that was going on. And it is an ability and a gift from God. Not everybody dreams and remembers their dreams. And that is a gift and the ability to interpret the dreams. But there is something about dreaming, especially for you as an individual. It's like somebody has taken the word of God or his presence and put it inside. And whether anybody ever understands it, it's like it happened to you. And that is something very special to motivate, to move, to change. I mean, you study the Bible, and those that dreamt, every major thing that went on was started with a dream or a revelation or a visitation. So it is good, but it's not good if you don't do anything with it. Yes, if you've written them down faithfully, then just like the other mothers with the journals with their children. I wish, Denise and Liz, that I had kept journals with all the things that the children had said over the years, you know, and that is why we're sitting here today as a church of women and men being led by God. We have a purpose. We are very well taught. I mean, her order and her ability to preach the way she does, it comes because it was modeled with her father, not her mother, okay? She loves me, and, you know, I know I get my messages across, but the ABC 1, 2, 3 came from Dad's training. And isn't it good? Because those of you that take notes I mean, it follows an order, and it's wonderful. It's refreshing. I mean, I enjoy my husband's preaching for that reason. It's not because he's my husband. It's because God speaks to him, and he brings order to it, and it's something we can eat throughout the week and take to someone else. You know, and that, I appreciate that. But there are just so many things that I didn't do for these kids that I will do for my grandchildren. But it starts with me for me. It's so easy as a Christian and as a pastor's wife in a busy church to think you're doing what God wants because you're busy. And to flow from anything other than him, it's a crime. And we do it in churches. We do. We don't mean to. We really don't mean to. But I'm not after that. I am so... And we've been here since 1992. We've been in the ministry since 1981. I like fresh word from God. Many of the things that I repeat to you are through my own devotions and my prayer time. And in the prayer time, prophecy is given. Words are given. I repeat that to you. I did a lot of that already this week without saying this was a prophecy here. I'm trying not to do that. I want to tell you everything, but sometimes you'll block it out if you hear, oh, this was a prophecy. But it's the word, and it's true, and it cuts. I don't want to bring something that's not fresh. We won't have a woman's retreat if there's not something fresh that God has intended for us. Right. So, I didn't mean to take that time there. Any questions? And you know, let me say this. Annie has scared us. When you have a 1.5 or a 2-year-old saying something like that, we have had the words like desire of the king has been a springboard in this house. It was a tent that she said that, or was it a keep? It was at one of our Feast of Tabernacles. It's like the desire of the king. We would be stupid to ignore that. When a 2-year-old comes up with something that they know they didn't get. Just like we would be ignorant to ignore a dream with Greek words on it to a girl that grew up in New Jersey. See, so that's why we are here. And we are endeavoring to position ourselves to hear. It's part of this whole process. We have to have the foundation. Love is actually a garment. The Word of God talks about wear love like a garment. I mean, there's so many pictures in the Bible of any of these things we've talked about. It's not just one way. But the point is, we are progressing here, girls, to a place tonight. We will position ourselves to be filled up. He's going to light that little oil flame. He's going to light it. He's going to light our lives tonight. Trust me, he's going to light your lives tonight. And he will equip us to go forward. Tomorrow will be very special.
I've been in the church since 94, and so Donna I've known forever. I was in her youth group. Sherry, of course, you're new, but something you said triggered something, and I'm like, okay, God, what is this? And when I look at you, Renee, and a lot of the women, what I see is consistency. You might not, like you said, always get it right. Okay, and it might only be 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. I'm in nursing school, so 2 minutes is a good time with God. So, but it's the consistency of, yes, I blew it, but I'm getting right back to it. And it's that consistency that I see in your lives that blesses me, that keeps me going to the next level, to the next step, to just life. And I want to say thank you to each one of you for the consistency with the Lord that I see in your life. Because I've been around you guys enough to see the little quirky things, you know, and see, don't you laugh, Donna, and see that those same quirky things in me, you know, and see God work them in your life and know, okay, it can happen to me too. I can change. I may not dream. I may not hear voices, but I can hear from God. And the thing that I came away with is trust that I hear.
I know he speaks, but trusting that my ears and my heart really do hear and not second-guessing myself. So, thanks.
Heidi?
Oh, that's really loud. I know there are times when I hear from God, and especially hearing, like when I'm studying in the Word, and you know He shows me some truth in His Word. It's like, oh wow, that's really cool. But a lot of times, especially this season of my life where I'm at right now, there've been a lot of seasons when I've heard a whole lot more than I'm hearing right now, and a lot of times, especially when I'm talking to God about a certain situation in my life, or when I need direction, I'm like, okay, God, what do I do with this? Or what's going to happen with this situation? Or what do I do about this person? Or what do I do about this situation? Which direction do I go? What am I supposed to do here, God? And I'll be asking Him these kinds of questions, and I feel like I'm just getting silence, or I'm getting conflicting responses in my head, or when I feel like I hear a scripture reference and I'll look it up and I'll read it and go, what the heck does that have to do with what I'm asking you about? Or, you know, and so at the end of all this time trying to ask God about it, I feel like I'm still left with, okay, I guess I'm still trying to figure this out by myself. And so what do you do in that situation when you're trying to ask God about it and you're trying to seek God about it and you feel like you're not getting anything and you're hearing, you know, just random stuff and you're like, okay, am I coming up with this? Or, oh yeah, I feel like I heard this, but is that just because that's what I want? Or, you know, like what do you do in that situation when you're left with just, okay, I still don't know what in the world He's trying to tell me?
What my husband and I have agreed on is, especially if it's something that concerns us, you know, if it's what do I need to do about piano, that's generally a me decision. If it's something about us, we have to agree. And if we don't agree, or we're both in that place of, I don't know, not really hearing, we wait. We don't do anything. We just wait. If it's what do I do with this person? The Word says we love them. You know, we line it up according to Scripture. You know, we line it up according to what God has already given us. And as far as anything specific beyond that, we don't do it unless we hear. Yeah, be still and know that He is God. That is probably one of the toughest things God ever asks us to do. I don't know about you, but Still and I aren't always on a first name basis. Okay?
Sometimes He doesn't answer. You know, sometimes you get silence. Years and years and years ago, when I was first diagnosed with cancer, when I lost my hair every morning when I was, and I was in nursing school, and I had three children I was raising alone, and you know, life had not been fair to me, and here I am losing my hair, and I every morning I'd say, God, why is this not enough? Haven't I suffered enough? Why? Every morning I didn't get an answer. He never answered me until 3 to 4 years later, when I was in a home of an AIDS patient, and she was dying, and it was because of her own, it was, for lack, to be said not nicely, it was her fault. It was her sin that had cost her life. And God had sent me into that home, and I walked in one morning, and she had long brown hair, and she had washed her hair, and it got all knotted up, and the more she tried to comb, it was just coming out in lumps. And she was just a mess. She was sobbing. She was hysterical. And for over half an hour, I did nothing but sit and hold her while she cried. And eventually, I started trying to work on her hair. And I was probably in that house for over 2 hours. And when you work home health, you know, you've got so many visits you have to do, and you get paid per visit. So, you know, you want to get as many visits in as you can during that day because time is money. But because I had been there, I could not blow her off. And I spent, you know, the time, and when she was finally settled and we were done and I had done my nursing stuff, I walked out the door, and when I closed the door, Heidi, I heard God as clearly as I've ever heard anything, said, "Bambi, that's why." And that was years later. So sometimes he doesn't answer when we want to. And when he doesn't, what do? We do stay and wait. We go to the Word. And in seasons where everything is crazy, you stand on what you know. You stand on the Word that is there until you come into another season where you add more, that you're able to add more Word and more Word. And you stand and you hold on to what the Word says.
Just real quickly, because it just keeps coming to me strongly. I think we forget. I do not like jigsaw puzzles. There's nothing about me that enjoys dumping those out. You know, you see in the Better Homes and Gardens every summer cottage they have the jigsaw puzzle table. I despise those because it just, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And when you get to the end of it, you know, there have been a few times that my family has graciously allowed me to plug in the last piece. Well, Mom, it shouldn't take you more than a half hour to put this one in, you know. And it's like, oh, look, wow, the puzzle, oh, it works, yay. What you've heard here today is the women who are able to say, picture, puzzle, oh, great. But, baby, when that thing's first dumped out on the table, it is a mess. And you pick up this piece, it's like, well, I don't even think this goes to the same puzzle. I don't even see this color on the stupid picture. And I'm sorry, I that's probably irreverent, too, but I'm just telling you honestly. You know, there have been a few scriptures the Lord has handed off to me, and it's like, okay, thanks. I don't know who that's for, but thank you. And eventually, that's, you know, a storm is called a storm because it's a storm. And you don't need a miracle until you're standing in an impossible place. If it's something you can figure out on your own, you don't need the grace and the wisdom of God. And so all of this talk about wisdom and loving people beyond themselves, that's not just talk. That's reality that we all have to walk out from time to time. Mm-hmm. And there will be moments when it does not make sense. Mm-hmm. But just keep working one piece at a time.
Yeah.
And eventually the Holy Spirit will bring it all together and he'll say, that's why. The picture, the puzzle. There will come a time when it makes sense. Mm.
Oh, can I say something real quick?
That's why it says, and this too shall pass.
Yeah, it came
right?
to pass.
That's why it says in the Bible, and it came to pass.
Amen.
And I know that this has been echoed through every person's answer. But in England, one of the number one things that we wrestle with in half of the Anglican world is the ones who believe that God only speaks today through the Bible. Now, I know we're not like that over here, but sometimes we've gone full circle in the other direction in our Pentecostal and Spirit-filled world that we're so wanting God to speak through prophetic words and dreams and people and worship and whatever that we forget the Word of God is living and active, as it says in Hebrews 4:12. And yes, God speaks through His Word, and we're blessed that he speaks in many other powerful ways as well, but the Word of God has stood and stood and stood. And so when you're hearing nothing, and Heidi, I know you know this, but for everyone else in here as well, when you're hearing nothing, you have the Word of God, and you cannot neglect his Word, even if it might seem like nothing when you open up that passage in those dry years, months, seasons, but you are still hearing his word, and you cannot forget that, and you must cling to it.
And all those things better bring you back to his word.
Yeah.
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 I was saved back in 72. I was in college and fell in with a group of crazy, charismatic Christians. I didn't know there was such a thing as a non-charismatic Christian at that point. It was, if you're going to open the box, you take everything out of the box, not half of it. So it took me years and years and years to get that. But someplace along that first 6 months, somebody gave me a Christian comic book. And there's a picture in that has stayed with me forever and ever. And it was a windy road, very windy road. And every now and then on that road, there was a tunnel. And in a tunnel, I can't see the sun, and I can't hear the birds, and I can't feel the breeze, and I can't feel the heat. And I get no cell phone reception. Those things are still there, but I'm in that stinking tunnel. If I keep going, I'm going to come out. If I stay in the tunnel, it's going to be that way for a really long time. If I turn around and go back down that windy road, I've chosen the wrong direction. So those tunnels, those places where, hello, are you out there someplace? Those places are those places where we kind of have to cowboy up, get stubborn, and stay the course. You know, you get in the Word. You get in the Word, and you get in the Word, and you stay in the Word, and you just don't give up. Because you know that if you keep on going, you're going to come out of that tunnel. And guys, that's not a once-in-a-lifetime season. There are seasons. Most of this country has four seasons a year. Florida, not so much.
It's all right.
We'll take what we've got.
One sunny season.
But there are still seasons, even though our winter may be 2 weeks of 40-degree weather. It's 2 weeks of 40-degree weather.
Take the bookmark.
Right. It's still a season. Okay? We have to endure them.
It's 3:15. Any more questions? I think you're doing a marvelous job of being in this freezing house. Is anybody else cold but me? See, you boys, you're freezing us up out.
No.
Have you? I don't want you start to pick off and not get the bookmark, because we made a bookmark for you today. That's got agapao, and it's got the sword on the other side. So if you forget what you're learning here this weekend, you've got lots of reminders. I don't want, if you've got something and you've been waiting for somebody to be quiet because I got to say something, I don't want you to miss your opportunity. 4:32, good thing. Go ahead. You almost got to one.
I know that Renee's going to say this is my little Baptist friend.
No. I can.
I've always prayed that my children would learn life lessons before I did. And Donna knows that that revelation was met last night. God is so faithful. And he saves your life at a time that you're in that tunnel and you don't think that you can crawl out. See, you don't have to crawl, because his arms were around me and he pulled me out when I didn't want to be pulled out. And I'll say a little bleat, that my best friend told me. In fact, she reminded me in February, otherwise I wouldn't be standing here right now. She says, patience is the act of letting your God set the timer. Then I kicked her off the couch.
Well, I think that theme, Laura, has come up many times, and I think it's a true thing. And Heidi, you know, was right in asking that question. And it's true. There are lots of times and lots of seasons. I've known and served the Lord since 1978. And there are times that you just do what I've told many of you in this house this weekend and over the past few weeks. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep going with God. When it comes to love, you don't always get, in fact, more times than not, when you've been at it a while, you don't get the warm fuzzies. You do it because the Word of God says. Doesn't that free some of you that don't feel? You do it because God's Word says. He's given His Word, and He allowed His Son to die for it. So you have the Word of God to stand on when nothing else makes sense. He said to us recently, and I know I've repeated it in this weekend, I am on my throne. He said that back when I was fretting over all the schizophrenic pieces. Because it's not, you know, you don't get to pray with us like that anymore, okay? So you get it at the end of the day when it does make some sense. But June, when we started this course with this knife, it didn't make the sense it makes today. And all the other things that were in between that, with the trip to Washington and this, it's like, is this all connected, God? And His answer was, I am on my throne. He's on His throne, girls, and it means He sees the whole picture. I kind of like jigsaw puzzles, not in long spurts. I'm a short spurt person. Short attention, but I kind of like the challenge. You know, so leave it there and I'll come back in a week. Put another piece in. And I know you know that, but the thing is, my consolation, my anchor is that my God, who loves me, is on the throne. Amen. If we can be launched with His love this weekend, we're going to get to a place where we can do anything, because our God loves us. And He wants us to be used to glorify Him. All He does, Bambi's story, He does for the souls of people. And you know, Beth started that, Beth Moore, in that Measureless Love. She said, God will manipulate all kinds of circumstances. Don't think it's past God, she said, to manipulate everything for the soul of another. And if God would allow all that in Bambi's life, for her to hold a woman 4 years down the line, sobbing, dying because of her mistakes, what, isn't that an incredible God? And don't you want to be a part? Remember, girls, we're going to say yes. I appreciate you, girls. I appreciate you, girls. You girls are one step in front of the other. You keep moving. Just keep doing that. Keep reading His Word. Keep serving. Keep getting the messages, eating them for yourselves Sunday morning, Wednesday night, when you're teaching the children. You know, Liz is most blessed. She's in there with the children. When you're in serving with children that hear from God in a pure way. So just keep moving. We'll get the job God wants us to do done. so that we can be like Jesus in John 17 and say, Father, I've completed the work that you gave me to do, and therefore I've brought you glory. That's my prize. That's your prize. I want to leave the legacy for the Michelles and all you babies back there. We've got to model it for you. Even if we started off wrong, I was not the best mother. I was busy with the church. I was a fun sometimes, but I was very intense too, Sherry, even with my kids. They know. Her mom, she would threaten if we lied that we would get, you know, scared so that we would tell the truth. You know? I mean, I was wild as a mom. I'll be a better grandma. I promise I'll be a better grandma. Because it is. It's funny thinking back. We have gone to extremes. I'm sorry. But we have learned valuable lessons. That's right. I would rather have lived and loved and stumbled a little than to be blah, blah, blah. I much rather do what we've done and keep going in the way that we go. Eventually, it's going to slow down. We're getting older. If all minds are free, I want to release you. All minds free? Pastor, you don't have a microphone up there. We talked about you quite a bit today.
I do up here.
Oh. Would you say anything you want and then close us?
Well, we spent about $1,400 of our personal money for nothing today, so I thought I'd encourage you with that. No, it's just funny. But, you know, it's just wonderful to hear you, you godly women, sit at the feet of Jesus. You are because you're part of the body of Christ.
I think it only comes up here.
And,
so.
You know, my four children, my wife has had to live with everything that I've seen here. And we you can understand, we were a reservoir for renewal for 3.5 years. And some of the great fathers of the Argentine Revival, Brownsville, people came and preached in my pulpit here. And Episcopal priests would be pinned to the ground, shaking under the power of God. Baptist pastors baptized in the Holy Spirit. Methodist pastor set free, seeing snakes come out of her mouth. Methodist pastor in town, you know. And through it all, we kept our DNA for in the community and on Sunday and what God has given us. And so the bottom end is some of you find yourself coming from denominational backgrounds and you're just enjoying the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Others that are coming from charismatic and third generation Pentecostal backgrounds are coming here and you're saying, wow, you know, the reality of the Word of God is first and foremost. And even as we have the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit here, I will explain to the congregation, sometimes frightens people. Maybe that's the reason why there's less than normal manifestations. I'll say something like this. If you've been here, to those that are visiting, you might have just asked, what does it mean? And I'll say something like this. First of all, this is the Spirit of God falls on Christians. Prompting, and let me tell you that it must fulfill and fall in the parameters of Scripture. The next thing, it must be tested by y'all. And because I believe what Jesus said, that heaven and earth would pass away, but his word would remain forever. So when we see the binary truth, if you would, of in our personal life, in our prayer life, in our outreach, we just mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1:18, that Christ Jesus is the wisdom of God. Christ Jesus is the power of God. And for 2,000 years, Christianity has been divided with wisdom, wisdom, word, wisdom, that will be most difficult for you will probably be the one with the most keys of the kingdom that God has for you. So please try not to miss the rest of us. We're getting blessed up here, staff and service. We're here to serve you. So bless you. They had a chance to welcome you yesterday, and I was in, taking care of some business this morning at the hospital, so I'm thrilled. And know my wife, nothing's sacred, so everything is advertised.
Actually, it was the other Renee. I only told a few. I told a few, she told the rest. So what would you just cover? Would you just give us a blessing to leave?
Do you want to see my three stitches? I can't have minor surgery. That's crazy.
It didn't really cost us $1,400, though, did it?
Yeah, it did. It'll only be about $140 we paid up front. So
thank
you. Well, you can do a few things on the side and take care of that. Let's pray. And I bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Power and promise and the burden of the closing passages of the four Gospels, the beautiful gifts of the Spirit found in Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 are yours as God sees fit to equip the believers to do the work of the ministry. In New Testament light, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for a manifestation of 3 John 1, 2. Beloved, that you are loved. Beloved, we desire that you prosper. Lord, they are our best secret weapon, for the seed of a woman shall crush